Welcome to Together in Mission. We're using this podcast as an opportunity to get together for those of you who serve in World Bible School, whether it's in a volunteer capacity or whether you're coordinating a service center in one of our nations where students are recruited, coupled with study helpers from around the globe to share Jesus with our world. That's our purpose. And so today we are gathered to look at our second World Bible School value. In our last podcast, we looked at our first World Bible School value, which centered on the Word of God. Now, I am gathered, I am joined today by a special guest, Larry Nunley. Larry, glad to have you on the podcast.
Glad to be here, my brother. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to look at this value before we go into a deeper discussion.
Well, I'm Larry Nunley, minister at the Airport Freeway Church of Christ. You don't see her, but you can feel her aura. My beautiful queen is off to the side, my wife, Patricia. And we have four daughters, and God has been blessing us to serve at the Airport Freeway Church of Christ for going on 20 years. So it's a blessing to be here. I'm excited about it.
Very good. Well, many people in our global community are fascinated about how the church is doing in the United States. And so even though we're focusing on our global community, we wanted to focus this particular podcast on the United States of America because it's a part of the global community.
Amen, amen.
And with your years of service and ministry in the United States, I want to tap your brain and your thoughts about how the mission of Christ is happening in the United States. But we're going to focus on this first value, and our values are rooted in the Bible. That's why our first value is on the Bible.
Yes.
The second value, the one that we're looking at today, reads like this. At World Bible School, we serve the church. The church does not serve us. Now, that particular phrase sometimes is jarring to hear. It sets people back a little bit as they hear that. But it has to do with what parachurch ministries are. Jesus established two big institutions, the Christian home and the church.
Amen.
Parachurch organizations are ministries that are formed when either the Christian families or the church itself needs something done that congregationally is hard to pull off at the congregational level. And so in 1973, World Bible School was formed to provide Bible correspondence tools for the entire brotherhood to use in evangelism, both within the United States and around the world in any country where there was postal services.
Right.
And so that is the work we've been doing for the past 50 years. We do a lot of printing, and so we function much like a publishing house. But it's always to serve the church and the lost, especially as the church is trying to reach the lost with the message and the gospel of Christ.
Yes, sir.
So what does it mean that we serve the church does not serve us? We develop and steward tools and resources funded by the church to equip and motivate the church effectively for their evangelism works. The church recruits seekers, the church teaches seekers, and the church provides follow-up workers for seekers. WBS equips, motivates, and helps facilitate these works of the church. We motivate, promote, and encourage new and existing congregations to participate within these efforts, and we strive to seek partnerships with brotherhood ministries to carry out our mission and vision more effectively. An example of that is Gospel Chariot Ministries. It was started by a fellow named George Funk in Johannesburg, South Africa. I know you've done some work in South Africa and sharing the gospel. He was a lawyer, I believe, in the economic capital of South Africa, a massive city of Johannesburg. And as he obeyed the gospel, he started looking about at ways he could share the gospel more effectively. And he came up with the crazy idea of developing these big red trucks called gospel chariots that just go out into any place in South Africa. And now they're in some 20 countries. And they'll put on gospel meetings, especially for young churches, small initial just beginning churches. They'll put on these gospel meetings as a way to give them a shot in the arm, to help them reach out to their community, and many people are obey the gospel because of that.
Oh, that's a blessing.
It's a huge blessing. Every one of those trucks carries World Bible School correspondence courses as the literature they distribute to sign people up for further study. And so it's been an absolute dream partnership over the years. I was just in Australia, where they're based, in Perth, Australia. George is semi-retiring. I'm not sure missionaries ever retire. They just sort of fade away slowly. but his son is taking up where he's left off or is leaving off, and their family is just a wonderful family. But there are literally leaders in 20-some-odd countries now coordinating those gospel meetings. And so those sister ministry relationships are as important to us as congregational relationships and study helper relationships. But as a ministry of the Lord's church created to serve the needs of the church in evangelism and to serve the lost with helping them learn who Jesus is, we have to stay focused in our place in the kingdom of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why we say we serve the church. The church does not serve us. Right. If we suddenly changed our thinking and we thought of ourselves more highly than we should, we'd get a little big for our britches and we'd be asking the church to do this and that, and you got to do it this way and you got to do it that way. But that's not how the Lord designed his church,
Amen.
Is it?
Amen. No.
No. So we recognize the church as the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We were just talking about this earlier,
sir.
About how that rich theology of kingdom, which in our sister podcast, which we send out on a weekly basis, called One More Chapter, we're actually studying those kingdom principles. I was first introduced to those in India, where they live in kingdoms.
Yes.
Or they have a rich history of kingdoms.
I understand that.
It's harder for us to understand kingdom ideas in America ever since 1776, when we sort of invited Irish to leave, kind of rudely, perhaps, called the Revolutionary War. But God reveals himself in kingdom.
In kingdom.
And that's if we will take the time to look at that vocabulary, to look at what that means, it really opens up our minds to a whole new way of relating.
It does. It does. When you look at a kingdom in the sense of a kingdom, you have four basic parts of a kingdom. You have the king, his word, his people, and his territory.
Yes.
We are his people. Mm-hmm. And so this kingdom idea is God, king, he's first. Mm-hmm. Not my emotions, not my religion, not my parent. God is first. And when you look at your walk with God from that perspective, then you start seeing it in the proper place. And you put yourself in a proper place.
Exactly. And that proper place, that's not very friendly language here in America, is it? We don't like that language. But when you're dealing with an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-loving king, it actually works beautifully.
It does.
And it only works that way, really. I was sharing with you and your wife about my children growing up in a kingdom in Central Africa. And one of the things that they just understand because of their growing up experience is that when you're in the throne room before the king, he never asks you what you want to vote on.
Right.
Kings just don't ask for votes. And neither does Jesus as our reigning Amen. King. He Amen. Doesn't ask for our vote. He instructs us in the paths of righteousness.
Yes.
And it is our position to trust and follow obediently.
Amen.
And when you have an all-loving king, it's a privilege. The king in Central Africa under which we lived and where my boys grew up, there's a certain way you have to greet him when he comes in your presence. And everything has to stop. And you go through the ritual. And my father-in-law once asked the question, isn't that a pain in the neck, just stopping everything you're doing because the ruler comes? And the people said, oh, no, We love our King.
Yes.
Our King loves us.
Yes.
It's a privilege and an honor to stop and give the respect he deserves. Yes. I thought that was a beautiful response.
Yes.
So we recognize the church as the kingdom of God, spread across the globe among many nations, countries, and cultures. Yet God's kingdom has its own distinct culture and values as revealed in his word. As we actively listen to, adapt to, and meet the needs of the church's evangelism efforts, we must consider at World Bible School all of this in light of God's entire kingdom spread across the globe and not just one particular region, right, demographic, or culture.
All of it.
Sometimes, it's actually one of the most beautiful aspects of New Testament Christianity. All nations are now invited in.
Yes.
And so it's not just one flavor. It's not just one color. Right. It's not just one ethnicity. It's not just one historical context.
Right, right.
All are welcome, and it looks like a beautiful bouquet of flowers.
Yes, yes.
And we appreciate each one. We rejoice in each one. But even bigger than that, we're made one in that kingdom of Christ.
Amen.
So it's a very exciting thing. I have two verses I want to reflect on with you, because they contain principles. In fact, this first one is one of the key verses from which this value was crafted. It's Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. You'll recognize it as the Apostle Paul going through the city of Ephesus. Things are winding up in what he can do with the young church in Ephesus. He loves them very dearly, spent years there. But he knows he's got a mission that's going to lead him away.
Yes.
In fact, it will end in his death.
Yes.
And he's talking to these young Christians, yet it's a congregation that has matured to the point they have elders. And so he's talking to these leaders, and he says, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, and how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." What a powerful statement of what ministry must be.
Man,
we are not in ministry to see what we can get out of it.
Right, 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 right.
If that's your mistaken idea, just get into ministry a little while. You'll learn better.
You'll learn real quick.
Yes. But he talks about in verse 19, all humility. Last year, we spent as a ministry team a lot of time in study and prayer on this principle of humility. Because as our teams were growing in various nations, one of the things that ministry has to grapple with is that there's the ideal in the mind of God. It's all right.
That's all right.
There's the ideal in the mind of God, and then there is our human frailties.
Yeah.
Perhaps even our human weaknesses. One of which gives us more difficulty than anything else in our experience, and that is thinking more of ourselves than we ought
to.
It trips every young minister up, trips every young Christian up. It can be a plague to your Christian walk all of your life. I would say that it is where the fall of man finally took place in the Garden of Eden.
Exactly.
They saw the tree. They thought it'd taste good. That looks good. They knew they couldn't have it.
Right.
And so, they might have wanted something they couldn't have had. But it was when Satan told them, "You can be just like God."
The pride.
Yeah. Boy, the pride of life. The arrogance.
Oh.
It's that lack of humility that got us.
Yeah, and that was in Genesis, the third chapter, when Satan tempted Eve. He hit lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life.
That's right.
Then he went to 1 John 5, I believe it is, and he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world.
Yeah.
Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life.
Yeah.
That gets us every time.
Every time.
That gets
every
us time. Every single one of us.
And so this is why this is enshrined as one of World Bible School's values. Mm-hmm. Sandra and I, my wife, we were able to travel last year to our number one student recruiting country in Nigeria. Now, it's actually where World Bible School began. Our first students came from Nigeria. When me and my dad volunteered to be study helpers in 1973, the five names we got out of the little wicker basket that Jimmy Lovell had left for someone to adopt, those five names were from Nigeria.
Wow, wow.
Now, for a period of time there, we lost most of our students in Nigeria as there was some turmoil in the country. Mm. But now it is once again the number one student recruiting country. It was such a privilege. It had been 8 years since we had been able to send someone to visit in Nigeria. And when we got there, our coordinator in the capital city, he picked us up at the airport. And we had expected to meet with him and his family and perhaps some of the coordinators at the service centers that manage the postal correspondence. Mm. Perhaps visit the church he attends. He said, there are some preachers who want to talk to you, but they're in a different state. We're going to have to fly there and meet them. I said, well, okay. You know the country better than I do. We'll do it. So we get there, and we are in this outdoor arena, and 600 preachers are there.
600?
Yeah, so I'm thinking violence is about to break out. But they were all peaceful. Uh-huh. They were all wanting to be there together. But they were there because, and I asked, there was an older fellow there that I had heard his name many years. His name's Mundi Akpakpan. He was a follow-up volunteer, leader in the church, that had volunteered in 1973 when Jimmy Lovell put out the word, we may need some people following up on baptism.
Uh-huh.
He volunteered in 1973, and he's still following up.
Wow, okay.
And I said, Brother Mundi, why are these 600 preachers here? And he said, oh, just a minute, I'll ask them. And he said, how many of y'all obeyed the gospel through World Bible School? 90% of those preachers raised their hands. And they were there because they believe in it, they believe in the tools, and they wanted to participate in the tools. What a powerful testimony to the impact of World Bible School tools around the globe. But anytime something that good happens, just like that snake in the garden, Satan's going to be close by, and he's going to try to be dividing.
Yes.
And one of the things we had to grapple with in that meeting is there were some feelings of, wait a minute, we've been doing this X number of years. You're now training some young people how to use some high-tech tools. Mm-hmm. Those are young whippersnappers. What are they doing?
Generational things, generally.
That, and who's actually on top of the hill here? Mm-hmm. Who's king of the hill?
Yeah.
And we spent some time in study and prayer together. In fact, Brother Mundi helped lead us through a lot of that. He's a very old and wise member of the church. Brother Awalabi did a great ministry there. He's the head of one of the universities of the church there. And he guided a lot of that. But we had to grapple with, okay, are we going to let what God has done for 50 years be crippled with a lack of humility by thinking that I can be on top of a hill.
Mm.
I can be a king of the hill. Well, that's actually not one of the roles of ministry in the church, is it?
No.
How many roles of ministry have you been in where you felt like, yeah, I've arrived, I'm the king of the hill now?
None. I mean, that's the ideal of ministry is the ideal of foundation.
Yeah.
It's you're setting down. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and Jesus being the head cornerstone. So ministry is a service.
Yes.
And the service has become because of God, not you.
Right.
So when you get ministry and you begin to start thinking that I'm on the top of the hill and I get to, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home if you don't act the way I do, then you're messing things up.
Yeah.
God calls us to humility. He says in James, he says, I will exalt mm-hmm. those who are humble. Mm-hmm. And so that's our goal.
Yeah. And we all are tempted
yes.
with these things. Yes. We all make mistakes mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in it. But that's the beautiful thing in Christianity. Repentance is always at our
thank you, Lord.
Yes, it's always at our disposal to ooh. Make use of. Mm. In fact, several brothers in those meetings in Nigeria actually took advantage of that and mm-hmm. said, you know, I might have been thinking wrong about this.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me. I love you. I'm here to serve. Mm-hmm. There was a tremendous show of public unity and humility.
That's good. That is good.
And that was so encouraging because it says we have a future in Nigeria.
Right, right, right.
And anywhere, you know, I think of Peter's response to Jesus said, okay, I need to wash your feet now. And what was Peter's response?
Lord, don't wash my, yeah. Will you wash my feet?
No, no. Back up. Not doing that to me. And Jesus himself said, if it's the role the teacher will play,
yeah.
then it's the role, the follower of the teacher, the disciple of the teacher, mm-hmm. he's going to follow that same role.
He's going to say, about it, wash each other's feet.
Yeah.
Be humble. I remember when James and John, mm-hmm. you know, the mother asked, who can sit on the
yes.
side?
Yes.
You know, uh-huh. he said, I don't think you can be able to take the baptism I'm about ready to take.
Right.
And this is about humbling yourself, realizing that, again, your real reward mm-hmm. is in heaven.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And it goes through the road of humility. That's right. The exact road that Jesus came. Yes. Jesus said, I'm a king, but I came to serve.
That's right. That's right. And of all the people who deserve to be treated like a mm. king, he still took his shirt off, tied it around his waist, washed Peter's feet.
Yes.
And that's what we want to follow. It reminds me of another verse. And this verse is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It reads, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves.
Oh.
Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped,
wow.
but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Mm. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Wow. As far as a bar set... That's a pretty high bar.
Yes.
But that's really what we're calling all of our World Bible School team members, mm-hmm. volunteer, service center, mm-hmm. Facilitator, coordinator. It's what we all have to aspire to.
Yes.
The president of World Bible School has to aspire to it.
All of us.
In Nigeria, they tried to treat me a little better than I should be treated sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now, it was their hospitality. Mm-hmm. I received it graciously. Mm-hmm. Well, not always graciously. But I understood the reason for it. But I'm not Jesus. I serve a role at World Bible School. Everyone serves a role in this great work. And unless we embody humility, we're missing the point.
You know, as a husband and as a parent, I'm a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I oftentimes have to humble myself to hear my wife.
Yes.
I have to humble myself. I don't know if it's humility, it's more fear. But I'm saying I have to humble myself to hear my wife, and I have to humble myself to hear my children.
Yes.
You know, and so when you have that humility of saying, okay, God, it's not about me.
Right.
Then God could do some work.
He can.
He can do some work there.
And he will do amazing things.
Amen.
And the more he does in your life, the more you realize, it's not me.
It's not me. Oh, it's not me.
I'm thrilled that he chose to do this through me or with me, but it really isn't me. I was in India earlier this year, and India has a culture of kingdoms. They call them Rajas or Maharajas, and India is a massive, they call it a subcontinent. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge place. It's now the most populous country on earth. It has surpassed China.
It has.
Wow. 1.46 billion people in this country. And it's an amazing culture, an ancient culture, thousands of years old. And as I was visiting with, we had a large presence in India in our first 50 years. Mm-hmm. But as postal services have struggled, it was always a struggle in India because of language difficulties. Right. And so individuals would use our tools, and they would be fairly disjoint from one another, wouldn't necessarily know who else was using tools. But as communications are now much improved, we're wanting to refocus some of our efforts in India, in Asia. But last January, we were exploring with some very wonderful people in ministry in India, some I had worked with before and had been a part of their lives back in the 90s, some I'd met for the first time. And we tried to get large groups together to talk about the World Bible School tools, to listen to what the church needed. How could World Bible School tools be better useful? How would they work better within the culture of India? And the church leaders gave us three very concrete examples. One, they wanted a communication tool, one that where the left hand would know what the right hand is doing in India. So if some people were having success with World Bible School tools in one area, they could share those ideas and successes with people in other parts of India. And so we're toying with that of developing an action magazine specifically to the subcontinent of India.
Okay.
We're not there yet, but we're working on it.
God willing.
Yeah, God willing, we'll get there. The second principle that they asked for was they wanted advanced Bible courses. The churches there are more mature than baby churches. They have deaconships and they have elderships. They have grown, and so they're looking for advanced courses. About 6-7 years ago, we started publishing our advanced courses here at World Bible School. And my uncle had worked in India for 50 years, Wayne Davis, and he has left to us all of his advanced courses from 50 years of work in India. And so he left those to World Bible School. And I made a promise to those church leaders then, we will mount these advanced courses that we already have that are translated in English, Telugu, and some in Tamil, major languages of India.
Right.
We'll get those on our websites where you can download them to your smartphones and begin taking advantage of those advanced courses. That was an easy win.
Right. Uh-huh.
Then they asked, we want to use the tools to teach ourselves. We want to be the study helpers. Mm-hmm. We have not had that capacity until the last 2 years, where we have rolled out our Light app, to where with the Light app, people can download our tools very quickly and then study offline. Then they can upload those courses, and then anyone using the full app can go on and become a study helper.
Okay.
And so now a study helper doesn't have to purchase the materials in Austin, Texas.
Right.
Have them shipped to them just to turn around to pay postage to ship them to another student. Right. Uh-huh. They can adopt students online and be their teachers.
That's amazing. All right.
Yeah. In fact, this was John Reese, the former president of World Bible School before me. It was his lifelong dream to see our expansion of our study helpers in multiple nations. And as of last year, we had that capacity, and now our number two study helper nation is Nigeria. Okay. In fact, they're adopting students in the United States, teaching citizens of the United States, and then sending emails to preachers in Virginia or Tennessee Arkansas saying, hey, my student needs to be baptized. Would you go baptize?
Isn't that amazing? Yes, I like that.
God can do great things with that.
Yes.
But as we were interacting in India, one of the people that we were interacting with, a fantastic evangelist, really uses in an amazing way the World Bible School tools, I was talking about this need for humility. And as we were trying to get groups together, some groups wouldn't come and meet with other groups. Mm-hmm. And there seemed to be some of this struggle going on, mm-hmm. as, okay, who's king of the hill? Right, so who gets to host the meeting, yeah. that sort of thing. And I said, you know, we've just spent a year in our staff in the United States studying and praying about this principle of humility. This has to permeate everything we do. There are no Rajas. There are no kings of the hills of World Bible School.
Right.
World Bible School is just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can use it. And if I'm leading in those tools, my job is to wash the feet of the guy who wants to use them.
Amen. Amen.
And he thought about that, and he looked at me, and he scratched his head, and he said, but Brother Brian, religion doesn't work that way here.
Maybe that's a problem.
I said, well, you know, religion doesn't work that way in many countries. In fact, nothing in this world works that way. This is uniquely Christian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is uniquely a part of being in the kingdom of Christ, knowing my place in it, mm-hmm. embracing my place
yes.
in it, and then letting God give me his glory, share yes. that glory with me.
Yes, as yeah. you said, everything goes back to the king.
Yes.
Everything. In yes. Romans 11, it says, to him be glory. Everything goes yeah. from him, to him, and through him are all things.
Yeah.
So whatever we do, World Bible School is setting that example of saying, this is what God wants the kingdom to be, by,
yeah.
be like. And it's, again, it's no big I's and little U's.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about, we are focusing, World Bible School, we're focusing on spreading the message of Jesus Christ throughout the world. We don't care who you are.
Yeah.
We don't care where you're from. We want to show you the love of God.
Yeah. And if we do that in humility, God will use us.
Oh, yes.
He will use us in a powerful way.
Well,
I want to take advantage of you being with me today
okay.
To explore one other idea, and that is, many of our international community are fascinated about how the church in the United States is doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They hear things, they read things, they see CNN on the news, but they don't always get a good feel for how the kingdom of Christ in the United States is doing.
Right.
You have been a minister for 20 years.
Yes.
And from California to Texas.
Tennessee, California, and Texas.
Yes, and I'm a fellow Tennessean, so much
go.
Respect there.
Uh-huh.
Those are the different states in the United States. So you have lived a life of ministry mm-hmm. within this nation. Well, when we talk about faith in the United States, at World Bible School, because we're a publishing company—
uh-huh.
We end up seeing a lot of publishing statistics.
Mm.
And one of the things I noticed this year is that Bible sales are up in the United States 22%.
Yes.
Now, that's the first time in my life that the percentage number has gone up. I'm in my later 50s,
mm-hmm.
and so this is the first time I've seen numbers like this. Just seeing some of the research, I believe it was the from Pew Research,
mm-hmm.
that 14%, the Catholic Church is up 14% in conversions. Protestant churches are reporting a 12% increase in conversions. Now, those are obviously the wider denominational world,
mm-hmm.
but it indicates something is happening right now in America that we have not seen for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the United States?
Well, I think it is attributed to the craziness, if I can say that, that's happening in the world. Seriously.
Sure.
When you have different lifestyles that are being projected and people questioning fundamental things, and with other countries mounting and growing and being a threat to United States.
Sure.
These people are sitting back and realizing, oh, my safe haven is being rattled.
Yeah.
It reminded me when 9/11 happened, they said afterwards the attendance of church, mosque, and churches, they shot up.
Right.
Because people's foundation was shaken. And I think that's what's going on now. people's foundations are shaken, and we're going back to a fundamental reality of there is a God. Not only there is a God, he loves me. Mm-hmm. And so I want to get back to that because I have money, and that's not bringing me happiness. Right. I have things, and that's not bringing. There has to be something else.
Yes.
Yeah. And I believe we're turning to God, and God's mercy is saying, hey, wake up, I'm here.
Well, that's extremely encouraging because for many, many years, the mission work of the church has been so blessed by churches in the United States, but especially those young churches that were planted in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. For some decades now, they've been hearing tremors and weakness from the United States in the work of the church, and that has concerned so many people. And so having some notes of hope and revival, that's extremely encouraging.
That's extremely encouraging. And hope is the thing that keeps people alive.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, don't listen to everything that you see on the news. You know, news, its intention is to sell, and fear sells.
Yeah.
But God says Paul in 2 Timothy 1, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I think that's what World Bible School is pushing to get out. And I think that's what's being received by a lot of people. Yeah. They want to feel this confidence. I want to feel this thing because the money and all this stuff is not bringing it. Mm-hmm. But God is allowing people to have the avenue of the gospel.
Sure. As a missionary, I often received interns from some of our brotherhood universities. Mm-hmm. And probably in early 2000s, we started getting interns who, as they arrived, they didn't seem to be well-grounded in what I would call truth you can stand on.
Mm.
Okay. And as I got to know them and hear what they were thinking and the channels of learning that they had found themselves in, many of them were wrestling with these ideas that truth is relative.
Oh.
And that you have your personal truth, I have my personal truth.
Right.
It's all true at the same time. By the way, that's exactly what the witch doctors in Central Africa teach.
So, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a commentary. But all of that left them feeling insecure because you really don't know where you can stand. And it was as if they were standing in intellectual quicksand.
Yes, yes.
And they knew they were sinking. And so they were hungry and looking for a rock on which to stand.
Now, and Jesus said that in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and it'll set you free. And what is truth? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth.
Yes.
Thy word is truth. So we let the word of Christ live in us, Colossians 3, dwell in us richly. Mm-hmm. Then we have that foundation of discipline and guidance.
Right.
And you remember in Psalm 23, he said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Yes.
When there's no rod of the truth, if there's no staff of the truth, then we get erratic behavior.
Right.
And so I think that's the world sees that, and we can't turn a blind eye to it anymore.
Right.
So the world is going, I need help.
Sure. And talk about craziness, and that's a good word for it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, some of my friends in West Africa and Central Africa, they will regularly bring up craziness they perceive happening in America. They will say, you know, we know the difference between men and women. And I'll say, you do? Well, so does God. And he gives us that truth on which to stand. It's a basic principle of creation. But in those differences, one of the things that Satan has probably used as much as anything is the hatreds and the prejudices and the division and the violence perpetrated by people hating one another, either on the lines of race, color, ethnicity. And many people look at the historical aspects of the American experiment and they look to see what's going on there, perhaps looking for hope, perhaps just looking how it's playing out. But the United States is not the only country that's wrestled with these principles. You've been to South Africa, you know, with the apartheid and,
yes, sir.
And that history, the history of Nelson Mandela and all of that. We also have in other countries like Zimbabwe is one I've been in recently. They are working through some of those things now in a very productive way. But those are painful parts of their history. I know hundreds of church leaders, World Bible School volunteers, coordinators who would love to know, how is the church doing in the American experience, especially when it comes to these things Satan has used for so many centuries, really?
Well, there are some churches that are even blending, like mm-hmm. where I worship is a multicultural church, and it's also a multi-ethnic church. Mm-hmm. We talked about this earlier. Just because you have the same skin color, that doesn't mean you have the same culture.
Absolutely.
And so we're getting that now. But when a church makes religion mm-hmm. its dominant thing, then you get religion and division. That's why you can throw a rock and hit a church here, church here, church here, church here. But when you make God the king, one law, one king, one land, one people, mm-hmm. then everything is one. Ephesians chapter 4.
Yes.
Then everything goes back and funnel in back to the idea of God's way works.
Yes.
And when we do that, then we'll see the churches that are doing that, we see them fundamentally are growing. And I'm not talking only in number.
Right.
I'm talking about in people's quality of life.
Yes.
And you see people being change agents. And they may be in little pockets, but God says, go into all your world.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Go to the grocery market, go to the school, go to the church, go to your work, and be a light for me.
Yes.
And I don't care who they are, love them. Why? Because from one blood, God made all persons.
Yes. And I find that so hopeful that that kind of unity, God says it can happen, and in him it is.
Is happening.
It is happening.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so the takeaway for me and the takeaway for my friends in South Africa, the takeaway for my friends in Zimbabwe, the takeaway for my friends in Nigeria, the takeaway for my friends in Monteagle, Tennessee, is that we can live into that glorious
yes.
unity, that beautiful place of love and acceptance mm-hmm. that doesn't have to live according to what the world expects as normal.
Right. I like what Isaiah chapter 2 speaks about. He says, and the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted, and all of people shall flow into it, and the word, the truth shall come from it. And then it talks about how it will turn the lamb and the lion. They will lay down together.
Yes.
You know, they will be one.
Yes.
And that idea is a beautiful idea for us to strive for.
Yes.
And see it. And don't pick out the bad. Let's look at the good.
Yeah.
And magnify that.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the church is doing that.
Yes.
But the ones who are not doing it, I think God is going to correct them and slow and get them back. Because
It's a choice, though, isn't it?
It is a choice.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. And it is a choice.
And if you are a student in World Bible School, if you're a volunteer in World Bible School, make those choices.
Amen.
Choose to make those choices.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be the church that Jesus created.
Amen.
We want to live the life empowered by the King that rules over his kingdom.
Of love.
And we want you to have that unity and that love and that encouragement in your walk this week. Thank you for joining us in Together in Mission. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. If you have comments, if you have questions, please send those in to us, and we'll take a specific podcast just to answer questions and to read comments at some point in the future. But remember this value of humility and build on it. Choose to be a simple New Testament Christianity, willingly bowing your knee before King Jesus.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you, Larry, for
being
with
us. Thank you. Thank you.